Hey, folks. This week, Rob and I are joined by none other than Jeff Hilliard. Jeff's a member of the Blam Fam. He's in the Slack. He works on limited editions at Hodinkee, is one of my best friends, and joins us to chat about the incredibly moving piece and the number one article on Hodinkee in 2021 about finding his father through his watch. If you haven't read it yet, I would encourage you to stop listening to this episode and read it first. Seriously, it's a incredibly beautiful and heartwarming. I will not lie, I legit cried through reading it. I mean, and I knew the freaking story, like I was there. Jeff breaks down what happened. He shares more of the story and more details that everyone has been asking him about. It's awesome. And then we chat about furniture and getting gnarly with buying home goods. It's great. It's a big joy. It's 2022. We're back. Here we go. I can't do it.
Do it live.
Well,
I'm on crusty 1996 Apple plug-in headphones, so, you know.
Okay, but real talk. Plug-in headphones are better than Bluetooth headphones for recording. Swear to God.
I'm trusting you guys. You guys know better than I do, you know. So I'm usually just screaming at my laptop, like, speaker all day during Zooms. So it's got to be better than that.
I did notice, and I'll put you on blast here, that your Zoom icon is your Hodinkee, like, Wall Street Journal sketch.
Where do you set that? I probably look like a total fart sniffer in that. Like, I remember, actually, here's a little story. They like ask you to send like a few pictures for them to do the illustration. And I was like, oh, this will be fun. And then they sent it back, and I don't know if it was the picture that I sent, but they gave me like linebacker shoulders. And I was like, this is great, but I'm actually small and this looks ridiculous. And I was like, do I give them the feedback? Like, who cares? It's an illustration. And I ended up being like, listen, you know, can you adjust my shoulders on my sport coat so that it looks better? That's what I sounded like.
Does Hodinkee have someone on staff that is I'm the sketch guy?
He's not on staff, but yeah, we send it out to someone that does them all, I believe.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, and usually it's only for, like, you know, the editorial side of the business, but sometimes, you know, we'll come in and help from the commerce side, and then usually, you know, you kind of get one. So it's fun to get one, but
wow.
I guess the only place I use it is on Zoom, apparently.
Yeah. Anyway, well, thanks for joining. I'm glad we got this going on. We're all connected. We're all live. We're all recording.
Perfect.
Rob and I definitely want to chat with you about a bunch of stuff. Some of this stuff are things that I actually am a part of that I don't even think all the Hodinkee folks know. Because we definitely want to talk about the number one Hodinkee story, the fact of like your watch, that you had that was your dad's that was stolen and then found again. Amazing grace.
You were in it. All right, so that's the segment, guys.
There it
Jamie
is.
Just recapped it. There's a lot to dig in there. There's a lot.
Jeremy was right there by my side the whole time that was happening, so he can give some further insight into how psychotic and upset I was.
Just angry that you didn't credit me, and not really, but that you didn't credit me in the shitty email.
Well, I didn't want to put your eBay name on blast, which I'll tell everybody here is vitamin A,
Okay, let's do everything in the right order, not jump into the middle of the story. But now I have definitely a question for you guys. But let's back up, because you guys have known each other for some time, right? I think you both worked at the Armory. Is that where you met?
We go back a little bit further than that, actually.
We met before the Armory. We met on Tumblr.
Whoa. Early days.
Oh, yeah. Like menswear Tumblr, not like.
No, there is no other thing other than Tumblr.
Okay.
I don't even. What was my is my Tumblr name was just Jay Hilla, I guess.
Jay, you're one of the only people I know whose screen name has been their name. Like that, you've never evolved past the screen name.
Yeah, I have not evolved. I haven't evolved since I was 12. You know, I'm still. Still a baby.
All guys.
An adult.
All guys.
You got to keep it consistent. You know, can't you tell with all the clout that I have? That's the way I did it, as everybody knows.
Actually, no, sorry. It's like a slight tangent. My favorite, I was talking to this guy And he's like, oh yeah, hit me on me. My email, it's mobdeep411 at. And he's like, I know. It's, you know, I created the account when I was in high school.
That's fantastic. You know, he made that. That was like our AOL screen names. I think mine was like Jeppy320, you know. And
oh, okay, so you did evolve past it. Because that's the thing, like, with your homie, Rob, like, that gave you the mobdeep email, like, you got to evolve past it. Like, I am not Vitamin J anymore. I put away Childish Things. Now I'm Fun Parade. Get it right.
Yeah.
I'm guessing Jay Hilla is Jay Dilla, right? That's like the thing.
Everybody thinks that it's like a Jay Dilla reference, and I've loved to be cool enough to say that that's what it is, but actually it's just like an old high school nickname that stuck with me. So, and I mean, Jay Dilla's great, you know, but I'm not gonna front here that like I'm a huge Jay Dilla fan, and that's where it comes from. But most people think that, definitely. The funny thing is, most people do pronounce it Jay Hilla when they see it. Like, so there's something that people aren't like, Jilla? Is it Jay Hilla?
So, like Jerry Curl? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
A silent H?
Yeah, exactly. So
amazing.
But yeah, Jeremy and I, we really got to know each other, though, probably
at the Armory. With Mark Cho. Shout out Mark, who's also in the Slack. But yeah, Mark Cho... We met through there because we were both making career jumps. I was coming from the music industry. Jeff was coming from finance. Were you a stock trader or something? I don't remember.
I worked in financial software for a while. So that I worked at a company that sold the software to all those people. Oh. Really exciting.
So, oh, wow. Like FactSetter or like Bloomberg? Or like
I worked for FactSet, actually.
Oh, there you go. Yeah,
for 6.5 years. So I actually can't say anything. That company's amazing, but, you know, that wasn't what I wanted to do with my life eventually. So I remember taking a call in a conference room at FactSet when Jeremy and I both realized we had gotten the job. And I think him and I just spent like an hour laughing on the phone together.
Very true.
And being like, this is going to be sweet. We're going to this is going to be awesome. I can't wait for this.
We did both come from jobs that were like traditional in terms of like employee perks, if that's a thing. And I think a lot of people don't realize when you go to a very, almost like a startup. I mean, because even though that the Armory was a company that existed, like it was essentially a startup and how it was run and all that. And like, we were like, wait, there's no 401k matching. We were like, oh, this is going to be weird. Here we go.
I can't believe this. You know,
and then I was like, who's Liverano? And Jeff's like, you got to understand who this guy is. And I was like, this sucks. I was such a turd. But I had the time of my life. And yeah, we became super close friends.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, you know, we spent quite a bit of time there, actually. And then Jeremy, I guess since then you've been essentially doing
the podcast,
which is amazing. And I since moved on after that to do, I worked at Mr. Porter for a number of years. And then after that, I started at Hodinkee in December of 2019. So that's what ultimately brought me there. But Jeremy and I have stayed friends ever since, basically. So,
yep.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah. So this watch, let's jump into this thing, because this was a story that had happened when you were at the Armory, and obviously, like, we want to make sure people go to the site and read it. Like, I mean, we'll recap a little bit of it here, but I'll put a link to it, and I'm sure everyone that's listening to this has probably already read it, but this, because I think at the time, I was into watches, you were, like, into watches, but I don't think you were, not that you weren't into them as much as me or anything.
It was a more casual thing for me at that point in time.
Well, and it was also because you had had, which, you know, I told you that, oh man, I was like, my goal is to like have a Day-Date or something someday. And you were like, oh, I have one of those. And I was like, what the fuck? I was so angry.
Did I say it like that? Like, oh yeah, I have one.
No. You were cool with it, but you were just like, you were like, oh, like I know what you're talking about. Like you, and you had said that your dad had one. Yeah. And then at the, like the opening party or what was one of the parties, your parents, your brother and your mom brought you your dad's watch, your late father's watch, and like presented it to you. And I remember you showed it to me, and it is still to this day, as an aside, like I won't go off on a tangent, but in my opinion, probably one of the greatest watches in history is a 36 millimeter yellow gold Rolex Day-Date, AKA President. It's one of the most beautiful banging watches ever. And it has nothing to do with LBJ. It's just the fucking greatest watch in history. And you got it. And it was handed to you. And it was your father's late watch.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a pretty cool moment because, you know, like you said, at that point, we had taken some pretty big jumps. We were still pretty young at that point, but it was a risk for sure for us to kind of pull a 180 like that, move into a different industry. And so that was a big thing. And that was when it was handed to me, when the Armory officially opened. And then obviously kind of, you know, the background of it being my dad's watch was, you know, a huge thing. And if for, you know, for reference, you can kind of ascertain this from the story, but there's three brothers. I'm the youngest. And so, you know, I made an ask for it, and I wasn't sure what they would all say. And, you know, they kind of surprised me with it, which was pretty cool. So that was a pretty special night for sure. And, you know, I talk about that a little bit in the story, but I'm sure you remember, Jeremy, like after I got it, I was like a little nervous to wear it for a while.
Well, yeah, because it's a chunk of, I mean, that's the thing. It is just a brick of yellow gold on your wrist.
Yeah, it's pretty much.
It's not a subtle watch, I think, is the way.
No, no, it's not a subtle watch.
So wait, let's back up. So you're saying that when they came to the Armory party, which I think was the store opening party.
December 2013.
You didn't know that they were bringing the watch? They surprised you with it?
My mom had kind of hinted that like they were going to, she had basically said like everybody agreed for me to have it, but she did not tell me that like it was going to happen that night really. So when they brought it in, it was like kind of a surprise to me that I would get it that night. I wasn't expecting it that night. So it was pretty awesome. And yeah, definitely to have friends around. And like for that party, it wasn't just like my brothers and my mom. It was like my aunt and uncle and, you know, like a few other family members, you know, my grandpa and like some other people. So it was like, they kind of made it like a whole thing, which was pretty cool. Yeah. And so that, yeah, it was a pretty special night for me that night. So, but you know, right after, not long after that, when I'd wear it, I took it off the bracelet because I was just like, this is a bit too much watch for me, man. You know,
it's a loud watch. And I think also we were worried, or maybe I made you worry, I don't know, but about like stretching. Do you remember?
We were so worried
about stretching.
Like, I like to wear my watches like really tight. And Jeremy's like, you don't want to wear it that tight. You're going to stretch the bracelet. And I was like, it's gold. How does it stretch?
You were wearing it too tight. You were just wearing it too tight.
I had that thing clamped on. I still wear my watches like that.
You do wear your watches tight. It's fine, dude.
Blood flow off my wrist. But you know.
Hey, man, each his own. But then, yeah, then you got, I think through Pulverint, and this is like way early through Stephen.
This
Pulverint
is when Hodinkee was on Varick Street. Like it was literally Ben and Stephen in a glass office in.
It's like
WeWork.
A WeWork. Yeah.
Yeah. And I went, Ben wasn't there that day, but I went and Stephen and I got to see the office and Stephen showed me. And that was when they had just like, you know, the straps were fulfilled from that WeWork by like Stephen and Ben.
Yeah. They'd be packing them on the floor. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was kind of interesting and fortuitous that like that would happen that way. And I picked out the strap and Stephen might have gave me one or two extra, you know, without telling Ben.
Hell yeah. Gotcha.
Yeah, exactly. And I think I was scared to take the bracelet. No, I don't think I remember this. I was scared to take the bracelet off because I didn't want to like damage it. So I think I brought it over to your house and you're like, yeah, I got this, but you need to get gold Day-Date pins.
Well, because this is the thing. Yeah.
You know, I was like, I don't, just put it on, man.
The spring bars of a Day-Date are gold. Of the one that you had, which you had a, it wasn't an 1803. I mean, you still have it. It wasn't an 1803. Yeah, because it was the first quick set, not quick a double set, quick set, single quick set. And damn, I mean, it's such. And the crazy thing about it too is, I mean, all the photos that you showed me of your dad having it and wearing it, like, it looked like he wore it, but when, I mean, in my hand, it looked like new old stock, you know, other than the like ding and the crystal, but like, it was just,
thank God,
you know, never polished. I mean, it was just, geez, it was flawless.
Yeah. I mean, it's that in a safety deposit box for 15 years before it came to me, you know? So it was like the crazy thing about that watch and, you know, say what you will about modern day Rolex, you know, we're not going to get into that bag of worms, but you know, I took it out and like, it's just, it was just running. Like it was fine. Like it didn't lose more than 5 seconds in like a few days, you know? And I was like, Jesus, this thing's still cranking after. Yeah. You know, my dad probably never got it serviced. You know, he didn't care about that shit. So, you know, it's probably never been serviced since he bought it in 88, you know? And so like, whatever, you know?
Almost. Yeah. And you guys had all the gear for it too. You had the fancy oversized box and the ribbed lining in there.
Well, we'll get in. I can talk a little bit. This was one of the most asked about things in the story. And Rob, I know you had some questions too, but everybody kind of wanted to know like what happened with the follow-up and like what happened with the guy that stole it, what happened with the guy on eBay, all of that stuff. And, you know, I kept it out of the story just because, you know, some of it is kind of like, you know, it doesn't make for the best storytelling necessarily, but it is actually, some of it is a big part of the story, because part of it is something that I still kind of, it's still kind of a little upsetting to me even to this day, which is, you know, when the watch was stolen, I kept this out of the story, but.
Want to hear the rest? Listen to the full episode and tons more exclusive episodes on Patreon. You can visit patreon.com/blammo. You also get access to our members-only Slack community where we chat about clothes, watches, coffee machines. I mean, you name it. It's all there. So visit patreon.com/blammo and we'll see you there.